I just want to preach chance for chance. And you're going to have to stay with me to comprehend, but trust me, it's not too deep. Amen. All right. Lord, help us in Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen. Her request required something that had never been done in the history of the world. This lady's request required something from God that he had never done. And yet, it got done. Matthew, better than any other gospel about Jesus, he picks up where the Old Testament leaves off. Malachi closes the Old Testament with a promise. He said, God will send a Messiah to fix Israel's problems and bring peace and joy to the people. Matthew opens the New Testament by declaring that this promise from centuries past is now fulfilled. The Messiah has come at last. And Matthew does it, he does it convincingly. He convinces people, quoting one ancient prophecy after another, explaining how Jesus fulfills each promise. There's 57 prophecies concerning Jesus coming in Matthew alone. Mark comes in a distant second, quoting 30 prophecies about Jesus' arrival. Matthew and the other Gospels go to great lengths to convince us that Jesus is the Messiah. And for good reason. Jesus is not what anyone expected. The Jews were looking for a warrior, but they got a pacifist. They anticipated a new kingdom of Israel, but they got a spiritual kingdom of God. Jews then and even now point to a long list of failed expectations about Jesus. Promises Jesus did not meet. But Matthew and the other Gospels point to fulfilled prophecies, divinely insightful teachings, and miracles to convince Jews and others of faith that their expectations were off the mark. They were not looking in the right places. Jesus is the Messiah who has come to fix the world. He's the one whom Israel's last prophet said will rise with healing in his wings. Malachi chapter 4 and verse number 2 shares that with us today. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And then another prophecy to kind of cap it all off is in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. I would to God that we would memorize this verse. Amen. Isaiah 9 and verse number 6. For unto us a child is born. This was hundreds of years before he even came. Isaiah knew more about the New Testament than some of the apostles did. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Isn't it good to go to a wonderful counselor? The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, not Jehovah Jr., but God Almighty has come in the flesh. That's a revelation, ladies and gentlemen. That is a revelation. And it's a wonderful scripture to put to memory. Praise God. And so, what would life be like without the challenge of change? God took a chance on mankind. He changed everything. He shook everything up. He made everything so different than what it was, even a whole nation of people couldn't fathom it. The Jews couldn't even recognize that Messiah has come. They still pray, and they leave notes in the crevice of rocks on the wall around the Temple Mount. And they still leave notes to the Lord, God, asking him for the Messiah to come. When is Messiah coming? When is your promise Thank you for letting Jesus come. And he was a good man. And he was a great teacher and somewhat of a prophet. But when is Messiah coming? And the reason that they are so confused about it is because he didn't come and he didn't do like they expected him to come and like they expected him to do. He was so radical and so different. He wasn't even born in a palace. He was born in a barnyard. He could have been born anywhere he wanted to be born. But yet he was born in a... He came humble. Yet one of the very first lessons that our God wanted to teach the church, humility. Amen. And the teaching and the preaching and the points to ponder, they continue to go on out by the thousands each and every week from pulpits and ministry all around the world, because the thoughts of what he wanted and intended to bring us are ceaseless and endless. Isn't that powerful? And there was this nation of people that just could not see it because it did not happen their way. But God took a chance. He took a chance to share. He took a chance to care. He took a chance to change. He took a chance to get in our lives, to get in our spirits. Can I use a country boy term and just simply say he wanted to get deep in our guts? He wanted to get so deep in us until when he was finished, we were never going to be the same again. If he can do it for himself, he can do it for you. Because when he came, ladies and gentlemen, he came for all of mankind. And I cannot praise him enough for that. I cannot worship him. It doesn't matter what color. It doesn't matter what creed. It doesn't matter what nationality. Hallelujah. Amen. When every portion of people in the world look in the mirror, you need to understand and comprehend our God came for you. Amen. Amen. And so he took a chance. Amen. And so the opportunity and the privilege and the charge is here today. Amen. You're going to feel a rush in your spirit before this is over. Amen. Not because of the pulpit personality, but because of the word of God going out to you. Amen. You're going to feel a charge today and a chance in your pulse to be more than you have ever been in your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so I'm challenging you to accept the change that was brought to this world by the Messiah that came as an infant. Amen. We celebrate great Christmas here today because of a baby that was born in a manger. But can I announce to you that he's not a baby anymore? Hallelujah. He's King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. He is triumphant and he sits upon the throne alone. Amen. Amen. So what would life be without? I want every day to be a better day. For a lot of us to change, it would take a drastic chance, because we're victims a lot of times of our own environments. Perhaps the way we were raised and perhaps the way... There's things I won't eat because I never tasted it before. It don't look good. And there's things that you can't stop me from eating because that's what I ate while I was being raised. I think that I have made people sick before with the way I eat. I don't know. I had one lady look at me, or one man looked at me, another preacher at a restaurant. I was just doing normal. I ordered a breakfast. I like breakfast anytime. Anytime's a good time for breakfast. And so I ordered grits. I ordered eggs over easy. And I ordered bacon or sausage or whatever it was. But I got to have the grits and I got to have the eggs. Because you can't have grits without eggs. That's ridiculous. And you can't have eggs without grits. I'll give you something else. Go up north and explain grits to those folks. You'll have a nervous breakdown. Because the whole time you're trying to describe them, they're looking at you like... And so we were in fellowship, and I took my eggs and flopped them over on top of my grits and commenced to mix it all up. And one of them looked at me like, he said, "Marshburn, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm eating my breakfast normal." And I went on to let him know, "I'm so sorry you have been deprived. That your mama didn't raise you right." And so now you know, that's the way I eat my eggs and grits. And it is so good. And I want it now. And the sermon just got shorter. Hallelujah. But for a lot of us to change and do something different, it's a drastic thing. It's like sometimes it takes our breath, you know. I mean, people visit us sometimes for the first time, and God forbid it's Sunday night and it's red hot and it's on and you got 50 people running in circles, and people go home and say they chased one another in that church and they never caught the other guy. They came close, but they never caught him. I'm going back next Sunday to see if they catch him. Because people can't comprehend it. I bumped into a folk, individual in a hardware store not long ago, and I said, "You look familiar." He said, "Yeah." He said, "I visited your church." I said, "Awesome. When you coming back?" He said, "I'm never coming back." I just kind of chuckled. I said, "How come, man?" He said, "Because you folks are crazy." That's what he said. He said, "You're crazy." He said, "I've never seen such in all my life." And I said, "That's what's wrong with your situation and your experience at Landmark, is because you've never seen anything like that in your life." I said, "I would not down whatever church you're accustomed to, even if you're not accustomed to a church. I'm not going to criticize another church. But I'm going to tell you this. I believe church needs to be alive. I believe it needs to be the most exciting place you go to." Amen. Better is one day in his court. Better is one day in his house. You can go 1,000 places elsewhere, but it ought to be better in the house of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Instead of our parents telling our kids, "Get up, we got to go to church," we need to be getting them up and saying, "We get to go to church. We get to be in the house of God again." Praise the Lord. And so, you know, to break out and be something different is something better than what's around us, or to be something better than what's around, that requires taking a chance because you're stepping into the unknown. I didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. I wasn't raised like this. My dad would tell you, if he were still living, he was an alcoholic for most of my life. And it was a barroom brawl every Friday night. He came home drunk. And many times us kids had to be referees and separate him from my stepmother and all of that. And it was just, if I could say it was hell on earth to live in the Marshburn residence when I was a child. That's just what it was. And all of my siblings and everyone would tell you that. It turned out to be better, but that's the way it was. And so it was rough and it was tough. But people get under the restraints of addictions. They get under the restraints of afflictions and restrictions, and they get to feeling like they can't come out. They can't get a hold on that, and that this is the way it's going to be all of our lives. But I'm just here to tell you today, it does not have to be that way the rest of your life. Amen. You have come into a center. You have come into a place that has been orchestrated by God all the way back to Isaiah 9 and 6, all the way to Malachi, and then beginning in Matthew, all the way to the book of Revelation. I feel the Holy Ghost now. Amen. So when I was born to my family, I did not even know what the Holy Ghost was. When I came into the church, I came to find a girlfriend. Not a bad place to look. Amen. But if you want to find somebody that's good, you might need to be good for somebody. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody said some folks are you have to pay them to be good. Other folks, they're just good for nothing. You take that like you want to. Hallelujah. That's your choice. Amen. But and then all of a sudden the music got going. That hit my heart. All of a sudden the preaching went out. That hit my heart. I saw young people so excited about what was going on in that church, they didn't know what to do with themselves. Some of them couldn't hold back their energy and they were leaping for joy. Some of them were clapping their hands, and yes, some of them took off running. Amen. Like David said, I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. And that's what they were trying to do. And I thought, you know, hey, this don't feel half bad. I've already explored with a few drugs. I've already explored with a few worldly things, and that's not quite meeting the criteria of joy and unspeakable that's all full. And so I decided I'm going to take a trip to the altar. When I came back to myself, I was speaking in a heavenly language I did not even comprehend. I've been speaking that language ever since. That was 1976. Amen. And I still don't comprehend it, but it's the greatest joy that I have ever felt in my life. I'm challenging somebody. Don't sit there in the same old way that you've always sat there and be the same thing that you've always been, but let change take hold of you and make a difference in your life. Don't acquiesce and regress back to what you used to be, but let's go forward and become something that we have never been. Merry Christmas. The Lord's got a gift for you today, and I don't want you to leave without opening it for yourself. Praise God. The reason why I'm here is because somewhere in my life I took a chance. I decided that just because I was raised a certain way doesn't mean I have to die that way. I knew there was a better way, so I went for it. The reason people sometimes refuse to change is because they get so secure in their little worlds. Amen. I've seen people that have led the most, and you have too, you know, the most miserable lives that you could imagine. They don't like it. They don't want it, but it's just what they're used to. Amen. Amen. You ask some folks why they do what they do, I told the story 10 years ago, I guess. Let me tell it again real quick. Amen. The young couple got married, and they bought this big ham to cook. She bought this big ham to cook. And you know, the ball of the ham there, sometimes the best part of the ham, she cut it off and threw it away. Her husband came home and he said, "Where's the rest of the ham?" She said, "What do you mean?" He said, "The ham. Where's the rest of the ham?" She said, "I cut it off and threw it away." She said, "Why?" Or he said, "Why?" And she said, "That's the way you cook ham, duh." He said, "That's not the way you cook ham, duh." He said, "What's going on?" She said, "I don't know. That's just the way I was." And they traced it. "Mom, why did you always cook the..." "Because my mom did." "Why did she always cut the..." "Because her mom did." And they got all the way back to that mother, and her stove was too small for the ham. Can you imagine all the ham that was wasted? Hello? And if you ask people why you do, it's because that's the way grandma did it. You're going to make me sing it, aren't you? "It's time for grandma to get run over by a reindeer." I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. I wouldn't wish that on anybody's grandmother. I don't even know how that can happen. But sometimes you got to get up and you got to walk away from tradition. You got to get away from what it's always been. Amen. Hey, I'm not... You say you're going to take away everything. No, I'm not taking away anything you've ever gotten from God. But could it be possible that today the Lord would like to add to it? Wouldn't it be... Isn't it possible that the Lord has another dimension? Maybe another... What do you call it? A ring up the ladder. Maybe, you know, hey, the elevator hasn't ever gone to the top. Amen. Hey, why don't we just decide today that we want to make it to the top? We want everything that God has to offer us. And if we get it, that's going to require somebody taking a chance with chance. Amen. Praise God. And so, you know, Folks refuse to change because they're afraid to take a chance. They live in misery and torment because they were born in misery and they were born in torment. What you need to do is take a chance. You never know if you can hit a home run till you pick up a bat. I'll tell you something else about that. You may not hit a home run the first time, but keep the bat. You never know if you can make a touchdown till you hug a football. I'm telling you today, the life giver is here. And it doesn't have to be the same way it's always been. Abundant life, power with God. It's all yours through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If you would just let go of your world and step into His and take a chance and go for it. I have never, ever seen anyone disappointed. Amen. Praise God. He took a chance, ladies and gentlemen. He was born. He was born to die. He died. He died to be buried. He was buried. He was buried to be resurrected. He's been resurrected. He did all that so we could have the honor of change. Amen. Praise God. The lady from Canaan never had seen him. She heard about the miracle worker who raised the dead, who walked on water. She heard about the one that healed the blind eyes and unstopped deaf ears. She heard about him. She didn't know him. She never experienced a miracle firsthand. Everything she heard was hearsay. It came down through the grapevine, so to speak. Things she just heard and picked up pieces of information here and there. Somebody told her he calmed the storm. He straightened out crooked limbs. She had to take that journey, whether what she heard was true or not. She had to take that chance. What I'm trying to tell you is, I know a God. He came in the flesh. His name was Jesus. And He's worth taking a chance on. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So it's okay to call on Jesus for a miracle. Amen, because He is all about the Father. The Father is in Him, over Him, around Him, through Him, and everything about Him. Amen. When you want to see God when you're in heaven, because no man has seen God at any time because He was a spirit, when He formed a body called Jesus Christ, when you look at Jesus, you're looking at God. Is that okay? Amen. Amen. Everything she heard was hearsay. He calmed the storms, straightened those crookedly. She had to take that. What I'm trying to tell you is He's worth taking a chance on. I don't care how far you have to go to find Him. When you get there, you will not be disappointed. I don't care what you go through. You start the journey. And then you make it. He's worth it. He's worth going after. The lady from Canaan had a daughter from our story at the very beginning of the message today. She was from Canaan, and her dilemma was that she had a daughter that was vexed with a devil. And she had to take a chance, and she had to find him. If she doesn't take that chance, her daughter dies with a devil. And Jesus Christ, well, He's Lord anyway. So she took a chance. Some of you are trying to figure it out, trying to calculate it in your mind, if Jesus Christ is really worth it. I tell you today, my God is worth taking a chance on. Amen. Listen, you don't think He's worth taking a chance on? We got folks here today that are ex-drug addicts. Say amen. We got former alcoholics here today. We got folks that here today that were on the brink of divorcement. Ask them if God is worth taking a chance on. We've got cancer victims that are here today. What was it, honey? You said 12 years ago today or 13 or whatever? About 12 years ago today, she reminded me. She said, honey, today we were at a cabin in the mountains. The family wanted to take you away for a little while, and we were at a cabin in the mountains, and Sunday came along just like today. It was Christmas time. And she said, you were so sick with cancer, but yet you didn't want to miss the service. And so we packed it all up and took off from the cabin in the mountains to get to church in time. And she said, we didn't make it 5 miles. We celebrated that morning when I got up because I was able to eat a slice of Vienna sausage. It had been about 8 months, and I was just literally, I didn't weigh anything at all. And I was there and wanted to be in church. We got 5 miles away. We had to stop. I got out, and I had to throw up again because I ate that little piece of Vienna sausage. And she took me back to the cabin, and I lay back down and was wishing I could be at Landmark. That was 12 years ago. Look what the Lord has done. I'm just challenging somebody. I'm just challenging somebody to take a chance and to believe, hey, He can keep us away from feeding tubes. He can keep us away from all of those radiation treatments and all of that. He can keep us away from surgeries where they have to dig in your neck and take out 18 lymph nodes and all of that. He can prevent that by us simply taking a chance and calling on the name of the Lord. I would to God that somebody would just join me in your form of worship right now and in your form of praise, doing whatever you do that's comfortable the way you praise God. Would you close your eyes? Amen. I don't want anybody looking at you, and I don't want you looking at anybody, but I want your mind on Jesus, and let's just give Him some praise right now for what He's done, who He is, and what He's getting ready to do in somebody's life right now. Hallelujah. 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 Victims of circumstances beyond our control, but now we can take control because the one that has control is in the house. She was a stranger. She wasn't even welcome. It was not the time for Gentiles yet. It was still the Jews' time. The Lord was unfolding something to come. She talked different, walked different, acted different. She dressed different, looked different. But the thing that stayed in front of her mind was that she had to find Him regardless of the difference. When she found Him, she cried, "Have mercy on me, O Lord. My daughter's grievously vexed with a devil." And when she mentioned devil, it fired him up, because that's exactly what he came to do, to pluck people out of the devil's grip. He looked at her and said, "Woman, great is thy faith." I've not found this kind of faith in all of the camp of Israel. "But great is thy, be it unto thee even as you will." Her daughter was made whole from that very hour. He had to call time out in the Old Testament. The New Testament had not even come into fruition yet, because the testator has not died to leave us his will and testament yet. He was still in the Old Testament, and there it was. He took time out away from his own people to touch a lady that was not even his bloodline, had no association with him, a Gentile, if you please. And yet he looked at her and said, "Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." I can do what I want to when I'm ready to do it for whoever I want to. And there's not a Jew, a Gentile, a Samaritan, or anybody in the world that can stop me. And that's why you're here today. He is ready to do what nobody else could do. He is ready to do what a doctor couldn't do. He's ready to do what a physician, a counselor. He's ready to do what rehab. He's ready to do what AAA couldn't do. Amen. Could you worship now? Could you praise Him now? Hallelujah. I want somebody to accept the challenge and receive the change. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You remember the story of the little girl with her hand stuck in the vase? It was a very, very expensive vase, and her hand is stuck in it. They tried butter. They tried oils. They tried everything they could find to get her little hand out of that vase. She began to panic when it wouldn't come out. And all of a sudden the mother said, "The only choice we have is to bust the vase." And so they shattered the vase to get her hand out. All of a sudden they realized her hand was in a fist. They said, "Honey, has your hand been in a fist the whole time?" She said, "Yes." And they said, "That's why your hand wouldn't come out. You should have opened your hand and your hand would have come right out." She said, "But I would have dropped my penny." She dropped her penny in the vase, reached in to get it, held it in her fist, and would not let it go. You and I know that a penny doesn't hold very much value, but the vase was very valuable. What I'm asking you today is this: don't hold on to the beggarly elements of this world and cause everything that God wants to give you to be shattered away. Because I'll promise you that what God has to offer you is so much more valuable than the penny. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you let Him come in and take that chance and eat with you, He said, "I will sup with you." The precious little elderly lady was making her way to a friend's house. Someone asked her where she was going. She said, "I'm going to have tea with my friend." And they said, "Oh, you haven't heard?" She said, "Heard what?" She said, "They said your friend has come upon some hard times. She doesn't have any finances. There's no way, I can tell you right now, there's no way, there's no tea in her home. There's no tea for her to make for you." She said, "Oh, that's okay. I brought the tea." Lord, I don't have anything to offer you. I'm broken. Maybe you're not broke and you still feel you don't have anything to offer. Maybe you're doing okay and you're blessed and you're headed into the greatest Christmas you've ever had and still feel deep within, "I have no gifts for God. I have nothing to offer the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." And He is saying, "That's okay. I'm bringing the gift. I'm bringing that with me. If they'll just open the door and let me in, we'll be able to eat. And we'll be able to drink. And they'll never hunger again. They will never, ever thirst again." In the book of Ecclesiastes 9:11, who would have thought? 9:11. He said, "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swiftest, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all." Rich or poor, happy or sad, got everything, don't have anything, it doesn't matter. He's knocking, and we need to open the door because time is here and chance is here. Praise God. I'm going to make it so easy because I don't want anybody to feel anything except their need to find something from God. And so I'm going to ask everyone that will. Amen. You may be the professional Christian. You may be that one that's graduated Christology and you don't need to pray anymore. But I don't think anybody ever gets to the place they don't need God anymore. And so I'm going to ask everyone that will. Paul said, "I die daily." So why don't we come here today and repent? Why don't we come today and ask the Lord's mercy? And why don't we come today and ask God's grace? And why don't we come and ask the Lord to move on our lives and our heart? We're not asking you to join the church. We're not asking you to shake hand, for the right hand of fellowship. We're just asking you to fellowship with Him. Jesus, you're everything. You're everything. Hallelujah. Lord, you're everything. Lord, you heart, you're everything.
Everything to
Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Everything.
Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Praise our God. Praise our God. Somebody pray with somebody. Somebody reach out with somebody. Somebody believe God for somebody right now. Oh, let's talk to God. Let's touch God. Let us reach out to the Lord. Let us believe in Him today to meet needs, touch lives. Brother Devin Paul and his wife praising God at the altar. Just got laid off from his job just before Christmas. No job. But look, reaching to the one that can change everything. Reaching to the one that can change everything. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. Let's believe God. Oh, let's trust the Lord to do a great thing. A wonderful thing. A mighty thing. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, yes. You're everything.
Everything.
You're everything.
Lord, you,
Lord, you are.
Everything,
everything
to me. Everything.
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 Everything. Thank you, Jesus.
Priority.
Thank you, Jesus.
Who can compare to you? Great is the measure of your royalty. Oh,
you're my morning star.
You truly,
Lord, you really are. You're everything.
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 Lord, you are.
Everything.
Everything to me. Everything.
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 Lord, you are. Everything to me.
If you believe that, raise a hand. Praise the Lord. Worship our God. Let me tell you about this raising your hand thing. David said, let the lifting of my hand be just like the evening sacrifice. Now, I'm going to ask you, New Testament folks, had you rather lift your hand and praise God or drag a cow up here this morning and sacrifice that? He did make some changes, but he made a lot of things a whole lot easier, didn't he, Brother Billy? Because I'm that sacrifice now. I'm the one that is that sacrifice. He doesn't require bulls and goats and turtle doves and pigeons any longer. Sacraments and candles and flowing incense, and because I'm the sacrifice. I am that Paschal Lamb. And every day I just want to give that back to God and just sacrifice that to the Lord. Amen. Surrender ourselves to the Lord. Submission so He can have His perfect will in our lives. Is that a good idea? Amen. I like that idea. Because He knows better what to do with it than what I could ever do with it. Correct? Amen. Now, you cannot leave this building until you shake about 3 or 4 hands and tell them Merry Christmas. God richly bless you as you're dismissed in Jesus' wonderful name. God bless you, Landmark. I love you.